Welcome to Get a Grip with Max Homa and Shane Bacon, a production of iHeartRadio. Sports fans, golf fans, or just fans, welcome to episode 11 of Get a Grip with Max Homa and Shane Bacon. Max, I look across from you, my friend, and I'm seeing something different.
Seeing a lot less of me.
You shaved your arms and your legs. You know, when I walked in, you look a little cyclisty. You look a little bit more jacked.
Thank you again.
Are those because of your workout regimen or because of the arm and leg shaving?
Little of this, little of that. It is a good feeling to realize that I am in fact in shape.
Okay.
I don't get to see any muscle definition under all my hair. So this is a nice feeling.
Yeah, I mean, how long did it take you? I mean, can we talk about the time in the process? What'd you use?
So I used my trimmer or a trimmer first.
Do you have to recharge it?
I charge it all day. oddly satisfying moment was taking the first kind of strip down my arms and just like a layer of fluff coming off. It took a total of about 90 to 100 minutes.
That's an interesting way to categorize the time.
I had to do the arms first, then had to do the legs. Took forever. And guys, I didn't know where to stop with the legs.
Without getting too intimate here.
I got to the boxer line.
Okay.
Yeah.
So right where the line is, it's just...
Yeah, it looks ridiculous.
So if you were naked, it would just be like a hair bathing suit?
Yeah, and hey, guys... I just need to admit something. I got a hairy butt. So it's an absurd look I've got going on right now. I know it's shocking that I do, but I do.
It doesn't just stop. It would be unbelievable if it was just bare baby butt. For people that don't know, the reason Max shaved was because we had a huge donation to a food bank. We asked for what, $2,500 for a donation?
$2,500, yeah.
Got more than that. Even now, this has been 3 weeks. I was doing the math. We have another $1,700 of donations that people have sent in to the Get a Grip Instagram account. Thanks to everybody that
good work,
are donating.
Everybody.
Thanks for being great. Thanks for trying to find positivity in all this. You, like I said, for you, I'm thinking maybe a new look. You look Camillo-y.
I thank you. I kind of want to keep up the arms a little bit because I do realize how absurd I look. It's just, I was talking to somebody playing golf the other day. They have like a decent amount of hair on their arms, but it's not very dark. So it's not super obvious. Mine just comes in so dark that like you just obviously the Golf Digest cover is like the worst of me. The filter or whatever did not help, but like you just like can't see my skin. I will say though, I think I was just blocking out the sun for all kinds of years as far as like the sunburns and whatnot went on my forearms. So I do now have to be a little bit more conscious of that.
You said playing golf, and I had a little fun on social this week. I've been
golfing.
Social media can be great at this time, you know, if you need to get away from your family and your kids, your friends,
it's
whatever.
Bordering on like necessary because we're so bored.
Yeah, like I tried to delete everything on my phone. I only lasted a couple of days. Yeah,
you didn't even last a day. I did one thing on my computer,
but it's impossible because there's nothing else
to do.
But I jumped on. I knew I did this just to rile people.
And it was perfect.
And it was awesome. People hate golfing.
Hate it.
They hate it. First of all, let me just say this to everybody listening. If things like golfing bother you, you got to just let the stuff go.
It goes
go.
With the divots thing that people get on about like, oh, your divot pattern. Like I
the
get
driving
it, but,
range divot stuff. Like take it down a notch, man.
There's other things that are worse. Like I've mentioned before, like if it was such a big deal, like superintendents in the golf course would come out and say, hey, no more of that. Like it'd be the same thing if the powers that be in golf would be like, hey, no more saying golfing. Like that's the least of our problems. That one always drives me nuts. I get it. It is play golf and it's not a verb. But at the same time, who cares? And there is a little bit, I was realizing there is a little bit of a gray area because everyone's like, oh, what are you going to go baseballing now? But they're called baseball players. They're not called baseballers. We are golfers. So like at what point do we weave in and out of that?
Baseballers does sound kind of cool though.
It's sick.
I'm in on baseballers.
Okay, let's go full heel on Twitter from now on and just make people mad.
So we've talked about something that might annoy people. I want you to lead us off with your Feel Good Friday. And you know what's great about Feel Good Friday? A, you feel good when you listen.
You do.
Let's be frank. It's right there in the title.
Absolutely.
And second is, today might be Friday. I mean, nobody knows what day it is. It's Friday, Monday, Wednesday. It's all a day. Everything's a day.
Yep.
Could be Friday. Let's go.
So I got a write-in from...
Wait, a write-in? Was this a ballot? Did they write in for president?
Did they mail it to you? Yeah, they mailed it to me. Jeff Washko, really good at the mail, at Jeff Washko on Twitter, said... Yo, big fan of the pod. Thank you. That was the feel-good story. So
that's it. And
he said, wanted to share a story. Today was supposed to be the Arizona JDRF walk. That is the juvenile diabetes group. Because of the coronavirus, it had to go virtual. I walked 18 at Biltmore, something I haven't done in at least 10 years for my friend Grace. Grace Lewis, my hero. Hashtag Grace Lewis, my hero. That was very cool to hear.
Did he go to the course and walk it, or was it on the treadmill?
It sounds like he
walked the course.
I think he walked the course.
Yeah, that's cool.
He said, I walked 18 at Biltmore. So pretty awesome. We've been walking quite a bit. I really do. I told you this the other day. I usually hate walking at home when we're playing, just because I have to walk all the time. So it's nice to hop in a cart. But now I just appreciate being able to walk. I usually like it because, not that I want to get the round over with, but I'm not trying to just enjoy my time outside. I'm trying to like get work in right. and play. It is nice to be out there for longer now. Like, I just want to be playing all day. I'm playing emergency nines all over again. Like, I enjoy being outside. So the walking thing you have welcomed me to has been quite nice.
So I played golf on Friday. I golfed on Friday.
I went golfing.
Yeah. And you know what I've liked about the approaches currently with golf? It's, you know, you don't touch the flagsticks. They have things in the holes to keep the ball just sitting right there. You can grab it. The idea, obviously, is to not touch anything that other people have touched, rakes or out of the bunkers. I kind of like it. I don't have to worry about anybody else.
True.
I feel like I sometimes worry a little too much about people I'm playing with. I go pick up their clubs on the green.
Yeah.
Maybe I rake a bunker for them if they hit it poorly and I'm up there kind of close to the hole. It's like
I'm
super selfish now because you are allowed to be.
Right.
It's kind of nice.
The only thing, I mean, trust me, I am all in on everything else. I really don't like putting short putts with the pin in. Like, that's why I don't do it on tour. But like, it drives me nuts a little bit. I was thinking about all the people that are going to come back from this and putt more with the pin in because they get used to it.
Right.
But that's the only knock I have on it. I'm with you. I do like not having to worry about anything. Like, it's just, hey, driver, pick it up.
Don't forget your towel.
Yeah. No, like, nobody's coming over to my towel because I always bring my towel to the green, be like, hey, can you, like, it's just no cleaning, no nothing. Just, it's, I'm in my world. And where we play at Wisprock, does everybody gets their own cart, which is might be the greatest thing ever. We all take off. You hit a shot and it's gone. Meet you on the green. It's great.
Oh, so we were joking. We don't know what day it is. Obviously, you know what week it is. And I wanted to get into this off the top before we got into some of the stuff that we've been having fun with, because I've been thinking a lot about your Masters week, okay? Because this was going to be your first Masters. And, you know, you win last year, and we chatted about it right after, you know, you came over to the house. We did a podcast right after you won at the Wells Fargo. And I knew for you, as a young guy with perspective and understanding, that the win was going to be huge for you because you checked something off of a career checklist. I won on the PGA Tour. With that comes another big check mark, and that is getting an invitation to the Masters. What's this week like, you know, heading into it mentally, knowing obviously you're not going to play, but knowing that, you know, you kind of got there. Like, you were invited to play in the Masters. You had the invitation.
Yeah, I thought a lot about this. I appreciated your question because you had it spun in a positive light. The issue is I don't look at it like that. The perks of winning, there are, you know, multiple perks. That's why it's plural. One of those is playing in the Masters. Not getting invited into the Masters, that's not how you look at it. The perks that you get to basically split off of that is the money and the
right.
FedEx Cup points and the comfort and the 2-year exemption. So it would be like if you went and qualified for the US Open and then
Loomis,
your boss, said, hey, you can't play though, you need to commentate. You wouldn't go around bragging or feeling all good like, hey, I qualified for the US Open, because that's not the point. Like, we build it up in our heads because we want to walk on the greenest grass I've ever seen. We want to hit the shot on 12. We want to skip it on 16. The pressure. I wanted to play the par three contest so bad. And so when that doesn't get to happen, it kind of makes the rest of it, the actual cool part of being like, man, I did qualify. I get to look at my invitation every morning and night. It's in my room, but it almost feels empty. I look at it in a negative way because it does stink. Now, there's, again, a lot of worse things in the world, but as far as this week goes, I haven't found a positive in just being able to qualify. That's cool. It was always a goal of mine, but the real goal was, man, I get to play in the Masters. I never once said I've qualified for the Masters, which is a tough difference in the way you think about
it. Yeah, I mean, you get to hang out. I mean, you get to hang out with me.
There's a lot of bright spots.
So that's like, I mean...
We were going to hang out in Augusta. It's like, this is way less cool.
We had dinner plans one night. Yeah. I was like, this is such a bummer. I mean, it is, listen, there's no fun way to spin it. I know it is, you know, professionally for you, not getting a chance to be there right now. It stinks. I mean, it does. It's just, that is what it is. I wanted to hear what your thoughts were, because I think a lot of these weeks are passing by, you know, for you. Knowing that, all right, I'm gonna get back out there at some point. I'm gonna get a chance to play. I knew this was a week that you don't know, right? And I mean, I think that's probably the uncertainty.
The interesting part about this one and the way I've tried to look at it is like the one that's really gonna stink, like really, really for a weird reason, is not getting to defend the Wells Fargo at the course I wanted at. Now I might fall in love with the other one, who knows? But like, I was very much looking forward to going to a golf course that I've always loved. I've played well at. And getting to defend there, where I have these memories come back, not getting to do that is going to really stink. Because I'm not going to get that opportunity again. Maybe not ever, but that would have been my first real opportunity. I'm not going to get it at all. The Augusta one and the Masters one that does help me a little bit is at this point, if they cancel it, I don't get to play. I mean, worst case scenario, I hope they don't. I hope I still get to play, whether it be in November or whether it be next April, whatever they decide. I've got in my head that I'm 71st in the world. I'm just going to qualify for it by getting to top 50 or winning again, whatever it is. So there's like the competitive side of my mind trying to take over and be like, all these things I might not be getting to play, because I was supposed to finally get to play all four majors this year. Right. I was very excited to finally. That's a small thing that you tick off in your career. I'm freaking 29. It was about time in my head that I play all four of them. And you know, not getting to do that stinks, but it has pushed me to get better so that I don't have to worry about this. This isn't my only Masters chance. That's what I keep trying to tell myself. That's what my wife's been helping me remember. It's like, this was not my chance to play the Masters.
You were gonna play
to play the Masters. So
you're talking about your game. You've just been grinding and
grinding.
The net.
Yeah.
Listen,
so have you.
I've been doing the same thing. I got a net, set it up in the backyard. We were texting like every night. I'm like, how many balls did you hit today?
Yeah. Yeah, you said you hit yesterday. You said you hit 100 balls and 500 chips, because you have the nice bucket, the net bucket to hit your chips into, which is cool.
You're just pounding balls into this net.
I don't hit a ton of balls, but I'm out there a while. I pretty much film all of them. One of the questions I actually got was from Chris Hebner, I think, and he asked, like,
I got that one as well.
What we're looking for. The idea is I kind of do multiple things. The things I'm working on with my coach, like I just try to see. I'm a big, like, exaggerated as hard as you can. I'm a big video guy, but I'm not a big video guy. Like, I don't necessarily, people misconstrue this. I don't think that my swing needs to look perfect. I'm just making sure. I like to look at video because I like to make sure that what my feel is somewhat real. Like, we all talk about that in golf, feel versus real. I like to make sure that I'm either overdoing it or underdoing it so that I know how much just to find. So that's what I'm looking at in the net. I will take swings where I'll way overdo something in my feels to see just how overdone it is. And if it's not a lot, then I know, okay, because now when I'm on the course, I really do need to exaggerate it. So that's what I'm doing. So I'm hitting, it's almost like a very efficient practice session in a way, because I'm out there, I'm not hitting a ton of balls, but it's...
Are you putting your TrackMan behind
you? Hyper focused. No, I'm going to try that. Okay. The problem is right now is I don't have... I'm a little like skittish to hit, because I'm hitting foam golf balls. I'm a little skittish to hit like a real golf ball. I just don't know if it's going to go through the net. Like, I'm just nervous
about
it. Dude
shaves his arm, shaves his legs, and now he's thinking he's going to be blowing balls through the net.
You never know, man.
I see you, man. All of a sudden, you're hitting speed. Your 7 iron 240. You never know. This is crazy.
It just scares me. I hit a few and it didn't go through. So I will get the TrackMan out at some point. But yeah, obviously, we're all the same, though. I mean, we're just hitting balls, hit balls. You're hitting balls, hit balls, just to do what you love.
Just to do something.
Yeah.
Well, so my uncle, we were joking about you said when the tour resumes, all these guys are going to show up.
Oh, yeah.
They're all going to be just, man, I've been banging balls theory, in my backyard.
Everyone's going to have the prettiest swing and have no idea where it's going the first couple weeks back on tour.
So my uncle, shout out to Doug Bacon, told me that he set up a net in his garage when he lived in Denver years ago. Said he banged balls all winter long. Said he got back to the golf course and was hitting this dirty snap hook. Yeah. He said, I've just been perfecting this snap hook. Everything was going straight left.
We had, so in college, we play, well, I have two stories. One, our range at Metropolitan, it was the windiest place ever. It would blow 40 every single day. I was there for 4 years, maybe legitimately less than five times in my 4 years did it not blow 40 off the right. So every freshman, every year, myself included, and then I watched them all for my next three. Every first drive on the first hole of qualifying went so far right because you just weren't used to watching the ball hook on the range. So you'd hold it, not unintentionally hold it against the wind, and you hit your first drive and it would be pure and just peel about 30 yards right out of bounds. Almost every single person did it once to start their college qualifying career. But the other story, so we 1 year in Hawaii in a college event, I think it was my freshman or sophomore year, University of Denver. For whatever reason, my 4 years, and especially that year, every player on their team had the prettiest golf swing you've ever seen. It's what you would teach. It's like straight out of a book.
And anybody on that team?
No.
Do anything?
No. Like, okay. Didn't know a guy. Didn't at the time, nobody, I don't think, was ranked. So we're sitting, we all finished practicing one day after the first round. And I think we were leading because we ended up winning the tournament. So we might have been leading after one or two rounds. You know, all of us kind of hit our few balls, and then we sit in these stands behind the practice area, and we're kind of watching these guys. We had all kind of been mumbling about how these guys all, like, look at his swing. So my buddy Stephen Hale walks down and finally starts talking to one of the guys, and I'm completely exaggerating how this conversation went, but it essentially was like, man, like, you have a beautiful golf swing, like, I love it, like, who do you work with, whatever, like, doing, you know, just being friendly guys or whatever. And like, it was kind of one of those like, all right, see you later. We're beating you by 40 somehow. Like, and it doesn't make sense. And that's what's so funny about golf is there's so, I mean, I've seen a lot of bad golf swings. You can see like the little parts that make people really good because there's some funky swings. I have my weird quirks. Everyone kind of does. But there's like a moment where you can see like the balance or the release or something that you're like, yeah, you are a real golfer. You might have a little bit of an interesting move, but golf is so cool because perfect golf swings do not translate to perfect golf shots. I know, I would say that if you went to the Outlaw Tour that's been played, you know, in our area, and you went and looked at their swings, I bet you a lot of them look really, really good. And you don't, unfortunately, know who these people are because there's more to golf and there's also more to the golf swing than perfect planes. Now we do work on those, but that's what's so funny about, I could hit balls in this net all day long and come back and I'm not even close to ready to actually play golf. I need to know, you talk about all the time, you need to know that your driver is curving right to left. Like, you need
to see, I want to see it.
You need to see two balls on the range and then you're good to go. And that's what's the beauty of golf is. It's not all just aesthetics and all that.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back. Can't stop me. I'm a champion. Can't stop me. I'm a champion. So we're going to get into some fun things that we've been doing on the podcast, including our five favorite sports movies. Before we do that, we did sports nicknames last week. Was it last week?
Yeah,
Was that just last week?
It was only 3 years ago, it feels like.
Last week in 2014. I just have some omissions that we never mentioned. Now, these aren't omissions that we didn't put in our top five. These are just ones
general
we didn't
omissions.
Mention.
All right.
That I saw some people on Twitter point out, and I feel like we should have referenced them because they're great. We didn't say Grandmama. LJ, Grandmama is like one of the best nicknames ever. I loved that
team. See, I would never think of that one.
But I just loved the team and the commercial. I think I had maybe a shirt or hat from that team, you know, when I was like super young. Big fan of that. The Big Fundamental.
Big Fundamental, because the Big Unit was the worst one, I thought. We
didn't say it at all. Did we not say
so
Big Unit
funny.
Once?
No. I think Justin Ray might have pointed out, he said that, you know, we as people for 20 years called a guy who's named Randy Johnson the Big Unit. And it's like, yeah, you know what? That's the handout. That's
fair enough.
On us.
That's on us. Last one. This is one I didn't know. Tell me if you've heard this nickname before. Stephen Baker, the Touchdown Maker.
No, I caught it on your Twitter. I don't even know who Stephen Baker
is. I didn't either. Okay. I looked him up.
I felt uncomfortable admitting
that. Oh, I don't know. I didn't know who he was either. He was a receiver for the Giants in the late 80s and 90s. He played six seasons, all with the Giants, won a Super Bowl over those six seasons, 21 touchdowns, including one in Super Bowl 25 that they won. Stephen Baker, the touchdown maker. That's an all-timer.
It's cool. And you're a big poet guy, so you like the rhymes.
Oh, obviously. I don't know. Yeah. My skill's perfect, yeah. Obviously. So those are that. And then the last thing that I have in terms of just stuff I wanted to knock out on the top, a reader shout out. Got a message from Jeremy and Elise. They just had twin daughters, and they listened to the podcast that they were listening to it at the hospital, Riley and Tegan. Just wanted to say congrats to Jeremy and Elise, and I hope you guys are handling all of this. I guess it's kind of a nice time.
It's very exciting
to
yeah.
have twins because cool. you're just at home all the time.
You get to be a girl dad, too. That's pretty awesome.
Girl dad as well. So congrats to you guys.
I had some.
Let's go.
I had a deep question, thought, and I'm going to shout out the No Laying Up Boys. I got this idea from their podcast.
We're shouting out our...
Hey, it's a time that we need to start being nice to our arch rivals until we have to play them in that match that we're going to win. But they have a great podcast out, really great podcast out about the what if guys in golf, and it's tremendous. It goes from the junior golf all the way to just people if what if blah, blah, blah would have been a little bit different. But when they were going through that, Tron had picked for his Lorena Ochoa, who I remember Lorena, obviously phenomenal golfer, did not realize exactly how this all went down with her retiring. She retired when she was 29 years old.
Okay.
She had won 21 times in 3 years leading up to that. 21 times in 3 years. And it got me thinking that at a point, now I don't know this point, so this is why the question comes up. At a point, doesn't it kind of become boring? Like, doesn't it become a little bit, like, even Michael Jordan, after three, went and played baseball. And I know he says it's because of his dad, but maybe basketball started to feel a little too easy. And I know golf is a little different. Even when you're playing your best, 21 times in 3 years means you lost way more than you won. Tiger, there's a crazy, not a rumor, it's not even a rumor, it's just like a conspiracy theory that he possibly changed his golf swing all those times to keep it fresh, to prove that he could do it with other swings. We were talking about, I was playing golf with Drew Kittleson, who's a 2-time club champ at Wisbrock, and Drew Stoltz, who's a 3-time club champion at Wisbrock.
Nice.
Yeah, I had a big
also, shout
big
out their
group.
Podcast. Their and podcast their is podcast, great.
Subpar golf podcast. But yeah, I had the big ballas in my group, and we were talking about this, how difficult it would be to be a billionaire. Drew said that if he had invented Facebook and someone offered him early on $15 million, he'd been like, take it. Yes. I'm done. Kittleson was said, if you get to $200 million in anything and someone offers you $200 million and you have the guts to say no, you're on a different level. So that to me is a lot like this golf thing. So I just want to pose the idea to you or ask you how difficult you think it must be to keep your mind set in the way Tiger's has been for so long to win 82 PGA Tour events.
Yeah, I mean, it's just something that I think is hard to conceive. You know, it's hard as a good... So something I struggle with mentally when I watch you play golf or JT or Dustin.
Hey, what company have you?
No problem.
I really appreciate
Tiger,
that.
Jack, Arnie,
all right, cool,
Max.
Yeah. Let's not get carried away.
I'm very impressed with professional golfers that they're able to perform, not all the time, obviously, but they're able to perform at their best when it matters the most. You know, I've done some diving into some old Masters. I wrote this on Twitter a couple of days ago. You know, Jordan Spieth in the 2017 Open Championship, he makes a bogey on 13. Crazy. He goes birdie, eagle, birdie, birdie, par finish. He was 5-under through the last five holes. And I'll never understand that stuff because it just seems too much for me.
It has to be a mindset. Like this whole thing has to be a mindset. I'm not saying Lorena Ochoa doesn't have it, but her priorities, and honestly, good for her, they're better than most superstar athletes or whatever. Her mindset is better. Her priorities are in a better spot. She wanted to have a family, and like that's how she couldn't be selfish enough to just put her career before it. I know, you know, like that to be as great as Kobe Bryant was in basketball, he definitely wasn't paying as much attention as he was to his kids at the time as he was after. Like that's why it all became more popular to watch him put in all this time with Gigi, you know, watching basketball. So there's not enough hours in the day to do everything. He in his book that I have, he did explain how he did it, and it was amazing. He'd wake up and work out at like 4 a.m. so he could take his kids to school every day, and he'd work out all day, then he'd pick them up from school. Like, it was really impressive, but if he was still obviously missing at times an hour a day,
right.
if he wanted, even if he's playing a game, it's not like he would be, you know, most parents would be hanging out with their kids, and there's no knock on that, but that's the difference to me. Like, at some point, somebody has to make a decision. Do I want to keep doing this at full bore? Even Tiger said, like, I can't practice like I do anymore. I have my kids, like, at full bore. Or especially in golf where you're older, you know, Kobe can retire a little bit younger and get all that in. There's a mindset to all that. There's a mindset to what Jordan does where it just like doesn't, he gets up for this moment that he just made bogey and had is kind of crumbling in a weird way.
Well, he was playing, I mean, he was plus three or plus four in his round.
Yeah, he wasn't playing
great
that day. But it's there's something with these great, great, great athletes that have, they have something different in their head.
The trigger that happens. You've seen Free Solo, right, on Netflix.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
And you know how they said they
measured his brain.
They measured his brain and he lacks the fear.
Yeah,
that we all have. You'd be hanging from a wall with no ropes.
He doesn't get stimulated.
I'm
going to
die.
Fear, yeah,
and you wonder, just is that similar to some of these?
I totally
goaty type of people.
Couldn't agree more. When we finished watching it, Lacey and I, I said the exact same thing to her. I said, like, that would be somebody that you'd want if he could have that brain in a golfer's body. It would be a joke. And Tiger must have some of that. I get this question a ton, and you do as well on Twitter from when we ask for questions, and it's the hardest one to answer. I'm getting closer to a better answer. It's what separates the PGA Tour players from the mini tour golfers and the mini tours from just the average Joe Schmo, but that's like a plus four handicap. I'm getting close to it. First of all, the easiest one is games travel. So people get comfortable at their home golf courses. That's easy. I can kind of play anywhere, and I feel like my game's pretty similar. Theirs, you do notice, like, I'll take you to, you know, North Carolina, and all of a sudden your game's a little bit different. But the second one I'm getting a little bit closer on is, I like the way that this is put, my ceiling might be the same as your ceiling, but my floor is a lot higher than your floor.
Gotcha. Like, you don't shoot 80.
Yeah. Five. And I won't ever have a day, even when if it's all falling off the rails, if we go play a pretty simple golf course around here that we play all the time, I'll probably shoot even. It will just look terrible.
Right.
But the last one that is obviously the least tangible is there's something in the mindset, like what you're saying about Jordan, where that he gets up for big moments, and he gets up for big tournaments, and even anybody on the PGA Tour has this mindset. Like, you put the lights on and they don't buckle. They might even play like a little bit better. So that there has to be something in all of that makes everybody you know, advanced and prolific in this game of golf, where we're splitting hairs between the skill set of obviously there's a little bit of difference, but a skill set between a mini tour player to a PGA Tour, you know, superstar.
Well, you think about Rory and Jordan Spieth, who both had these epic collapses at Augusta National, right? It's Masters Week. Everybody can be talking about the Masters. And, you know, Rory wins his next major championship after that, which is
by a million.
Yeah, but it's just, I mean, he's able to click back in that quickly. Now, it wasn't the next week, but the next time he's out there on that stage with that many eyeballs.
He had the lead against Sunday. Everybody was thinking, I'm sure he was, man, is he going to do
right,
what he
don't go out there and hit it. Major. Don't hit anything super crazy. And he didn't, of course. And then, you know, Spieth the same way. People, I feel like when we talk about guys in terms of choking, I feel like we need to get away from the singular moment and look more at the whole picture, the whole painting. And for Jordan Spieth, that's really the lone moment he had in terms of quote unquote choking, right? He had one moment in his career, and he birdied 13, 15, and nearly birdied 16.
He explained it perfectly. He said, my miss all week was short right, and I got to a hole where short right is dead. That's all that happened. Like,
right.
You can call it choking, call it whatever you want, but that...
And he clicked right back in.
Yeah, he right almost back in. Caught Willett right after.
He almost got him. I mean, if he makes that putt on 16, who knows what happens.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, and frankly, the ball got, you got a kind of a bad break there.
There's
I thought
a
the
difference.
Ball was roll
there,
back
there's
close.
A difference, and this is no shot at, I don't know him, and I don't.
Oh,
I
wow. Will, this could be beef, too?
I will never, ever use the word. I don't think choking is a real thing. I'm sorry, not that it's a real thing. I don't like that word, because I think it's very, like you said, it's very unfair, and I think it's way too negative. But there's a difference in ways people kind of have their falters and tournaments. John Vandeveld's, to me, is so mental. He did not need to go for it in two.
Right.
Definitely didn't. I mean, he got super unlucky. It hit like a metal post. But even then, he made like a six-footer to get in the playoff.
It was longer than that, I think.
Yeah. To me, it has very little to do with what's going inside your gut and all the nerves that get there. I mean, a little bit. But we've all, anybody who's made the PGA Tour has had a moment where their hands were absolutely going nuts, or their legs were, their stomach was, and they've hit a great shot or made a great putt. So I don't think that means that you're going to crumble. I think it goes to your brain. and his brain, he started making bad decisions. You see it a lot. You see people start making really crummy decisions. I've made terrible decisions in big moments. And I think a lot more has to do with that aspect. And that's where, to me, like, you would see a big shift in how someone plays, because everyone's missed and everyone's made that's on the PGA Tour big putt or hit a big made a great swing when they were nervous. But Jordan backed it up right after the worst hole of his career with a ton of great golf. So I don't see it as being that. I think he made it the point perfect. It was a circumstance, and this hole just didn't call for it. That's why Augusta National is such an amazing golf course for such an amazing championship.
Yeah, third golf podcast shout out of this golf podcast. But Shotgun Start did a deep dive into Curtis Strange last week, and he was talking about how, you know, it'll be great. You've got to be willing to lose. And I think I feel like I attached to that a little bit, because I think sometimes when I'm playing in stuff, and of course my stuff is peanuts compared to, you know, playing for a living, but when I'm playing in things and I'm really excited about playing and I want to do well and I want to win, I think sometimes I'll wake up in the mornings of the final round and I'll think, you know, don't go out there and play poorly, or don't go out there and do something to where you're A, going to embarrass yourself, or you're B, not going to win. And you've got to be willing to be out there doing that. And so, you know, I maybe I'll take that with me going forward.
Yeah.
Just go into and go, you know, if you go out, like, one thing that was big for me as I got older and played golf was that whole, like, nobody, you know how, I think it's G4, some company does that, nobody cares what you shot. That was so important to me to hear, because I always felt like everybody did, in a way.
Yeah.
And when you realize nobody does,
well, you're the protagonist in your own story, and you're the supporting actor at best in everyone else's. So no one cares. Like, no one cares. Like, it goes back to, if I'm playing heads up against you, like, I want you to play well. Like, I do.
Right.
But I also don't care. Like, I still want to beat you. You know? So it's like, I care. I want you to have your best, your fun day and all this, because, like, we're friends. But if I'm playing somebody I don't know and they're going, you know, it's like when they come up and be like, can you believe that lift? I was like, honestly, I'm kind of happy you missed it. Like, I'm playing against you.
Right.
But my coach says this, and you could take my coach Les says this, and you should put this in your back pocket. He says, he's a big football guy. His son is about to play football, quarterback at Cal, Zach. And he says, be more excited to throw touchdowns than afraid to throw interceptions. And that's what you think about on golf swings, especially when the moment's big. It's like, you can do two different things. You can get up on the 18th hole at Quail Hollow and you can think, man, there's water down the left, right's bad. Like, there's all this stuff. Or I can say, man, it'll be, what are we going to do from that spot? Or I can say, hey, everybody, watch this.
Like, right.
I'm going to pipe this thing. I'm going to show off in this moment. And there is a huge distinction in the two things. It goes right back to when I caddied for you. And I understand why you pointed out on the fourth hole that right was better than left. But at no point did I feel like you were excited to show me a 320 bomb down the right side of the fairway. I thought it was a lot more like, I don't want to be left here. Because you're right. If you hit it left, you hit out of bounds, your chances of qualifying are more than likely over. Maybe not, but more than likely over. And I get that mindset. But
you, like, still get up and hit a drive.
You still got to get up there and think, if it goes out, to me, and this is what I always try to remind myself, if it goes out, it goes out, and I'm going to go to the range tomorrow and figure out how to make that not happen anymore. But not, I can't, I throw up or I feel sick if I leave there thinking, I just made a golf swing with the thought of not hitting it left. Like, what did that get me? I'd rather just hit it left and be like, okay, coach, what do you think that's from? It's like, oh, your hands got here. Instead of being like, well, how am I supposed to help you, man, if your brain isn't letting you be a hero?
Yeah. That, by the way, Max is talking about, he qualified, or he caddied for me, U.S. amateur qualifying last year. It was 2 days, 36 holes. He caddied for me in the fourth holes is par five. And I just kept mentioning to him how left was bad.
Yeah.
And he said, he goes, I know you weren't going to hit that
fairway. You said right trees are okay. And again, I like caddying so much because I do learn, and I've played so much golf with you, and you've played well pretty much every time we've ever played. So it's nice to see not that I want to see what holds you back, but you get curious. You hit the ball really well. You putt it really well. And obviously tournaments are always different. Again, it goes back to my separation between mini tour players and professional golfers, or I'm sorry, PGA Tour golfers. But it goes to all, it's interesting because you can see where your brain changes. You would, if at Phoenix Country, you get up and just hit it, and you're just going to probably bomb it more often than not. But that's no big deal. That's the hardest part about professional golf. And that's the hardest part about doing anything with circumstances. If I had to broadcast like we did, let's just say our little recap of the 08 Not that I did much broadcasting, but if like I had to do that on for Fox, like you do, it would, I would be so timid to say anything. And then about the end, you'd be like, why didn't I just say something? Like,
just
speak,
talk, right?
Like, yeah. Do something. It's like when you are trying to ask out your first girl when you're younger, it's like, just get told no, but don't go in there skittish.
Or like, don't
just,
not ask.
Yeah. Or don't not ask, because she's not going to, who cares now? So it just goes that like everybody and everything at some point has to have some gusto and have the ability to fail and then go back and not look at the failure, look at what you could learn from it and what went wrong. And then you start to develop trends. So like now, as I've been in my golf better at that, I know my tendencies when I get nervous. I know my tendencies just in my own golf swing. So when I get in big moments and I have trouble on a side I don't like or with a club I don't like, I know, okay, well, I have addressed this because I wasn't making swings that were mentally bad anymore. I was making good focused swings. But I went down in a blaze of glory, and now I can address. I've addressed that in practice, and I can set up how to be successful on that same type of shot later down the road.
And then prove it, and you.
And then you do it, but then again, you have to get onto that and commit to that same thing that I have put in the hours. I have fixed this shot. You know, for me on that hole, I picked a different club because I draw it better than my driver. I draw my three wood better. It fits the three wood. So I just went in to that shot thinking I've done this on that range that week 20 times on Sunday because Joe got me all ready for it.
Right.
And so it also takes that part. But you have to be so okay with failing. And that's what makes everybody that's great.
They're scared. People are scared to fail. They're scared to be embarrassed. They're scared to say something stupid.
And they are on the fourth hole, not just the 18th hole. A lot of people just like to go straight to the 18th hole. People are scared early in days and then middle of days. Like you just don't realize it because you look at it as a choke moment is on the 18th hole on the tee. It's not. It's a whole, you could look at it as a whole day.
Like you said with Spieth, everything was short right. Yeah, and that shot was brutal. Right. It's a great point. We were going to do our five favorite sports movies ever.
Yeah.
And this
favorite.
Is just a reminder. This isn't the best sports movie.
I'm going to have some honorable mentions again. Is that all right?
I just want to take a moment. Everybody listening. Been a couple of weeks to this. There's just no reason to yell at us about stuff. If we say something mean or rude or inconsiderate, that's fine. I understand you getting frustrated with us. But when we're doing our favorite things for public consumption, you don't have to yell. You can just mention your five favorite movies and then
just mention yours.
Then we can move on.
Yeah.
And yours can be different than mine. And you know what we can do? We can be friends. That's all I wanted to say. So we're going to start with our five favorite sports movies.
This is the hardest one.
The number five?
No, just like
it's impossible. We're going to miss some.
Yeah. But even like, yeah, so I have 10 here and I still don't know.
10?
I still don't know what my five are. I kind of did.
I'll start. I'll throw mine out there. My number five. This is I put.
Are we going to start with the five?
I'm going to start with number five. Okay. To number one. It's tough. My number five is I think of one of the sports movies I feel like I've watched the most. I love it. Whole bunch of good acting in it. A League of Their Own.
Oh.
I just feel like it's a wonderful movie and it's a great, you know, the whole rewatchable thing that The Ringer does. It is a great rewatchable movie, and it's a great dive in at any time.
I agree. It's great rewatchable. It's one of those.
You can always get in no matter where you're at. I'm not sure I've seen the start of A League of Their Own in 20 years.
I'm not sure I have either. I don't know if I ever have.
Do you know who directed A League of Their Own? Penny Marshall. I would like to know what
Penny Marshall. Is that Penny Hardaway's cousin?
you don't do first things.
No, you do. You do.
So A League of Their Own, 1992, holds up. Great movie. That's my number five.
Okay, I like it. My number five, it's very, Lacey just got Postmates. She's really excited. And it's Shake Shack. number five, I'm going to say Coach Carter. Coach Carter is, first of all, it happened down the street from where my uncle, aunt, you know, cousins grew up in Richmond. My uncle is a basketball coach up there. So he kind of knew when it came out, he kind of told me some stuff about it. It felt like one of those movies that you could connect with really well. It was also just a great movie. Now I understand there are better stories or maybe bigger, more important things, than the Coach Carter film, but I thought the movie was really good. It was really easy to get into. It had a lot of layers to it. Also, again, it was when I was growing up, my favorite sport, getting to, like, it just felt like I connected with it. Like, and I mean, everyone loves Samuel L. Jackson. It's just,
yeah. Right? I mean, when he's really rocking it, it's a lot of fun to watch. I agree with that. Very positive, very fun, good movie. My number four, I'm going to say, I'm going to throw my number four out, knowing that it's a little bit like the Die Hard being your best Christmas movie ever argument here. Kingpin.
Oh, God. I cannot believe I don't have that on my
Kingpin
list.
Is just one of the best movies ever.
It's so good. That is as rewatchable as they come.
It is so good. My wife, not a Kingpin fan, and that was a few days ago. That was one of the moments that I didn't talk to her the rest of the day. Hey, that was
quarantine life is very fair.
You got to have a relationship silence. You need moments to yourself.
I get it.
Didn't want to watch Kingpin. It was on TV. I went, you don't like it? No, I don't like it.
It wasn't, oh, let's change it. It's like, no, I'm going to watch it and you're going to leave.
I was going through, you know how you do the battle every night on Netflix where you spend 2.5 hours trying to figure out what to watch? We were doing that and it was Kingpin was one of the options. And she's, I don't like that movie. I said,
what's not to like?
What part do you not like? Because it's all awesome and everybody's just rocking at their acting ability. So there you go. That's my number four.
My number four, man.
I love watching this kind of internal struggle.
I know.
This is why you can't write down 10.
I know, but I had to. I kind of wanted to do something like where everybody kind of has their favorite baseball movie, their favorite golf movie,
right,
which we'll get to, our favorite football movie, all these things. So I wanted to add, I love a lot of baseball movies, but I have this tied, like I'm tied with Field of Dreams, Moneyball, and Major League. And I'm going to go with Moneyball.
Okay.
Field of Dreams, I would say, is a more impactful movie. It's a more sentimental movie. I think it's a deeper movie. But Moneyball is such, and I don't know how accurate it is, but it is, it really set up like what baseball becomes. And it helps you understand it
right,
in a better way. Like this, the analytics of baseball have become so important because of the A's.
You know, yeah. and basketball and even golf.
For,
I mean,
sure.
All of this stuff basically derived from this, right?
Yeah. So it's so cool to see how that works and to get to, I don't know, movies that make everything seem so much more interesting too. Like it was like, obviously this is probably just somebody like had an idea and did it. But this makes it so much more dramatized and like there's so much going on, and I love baseball movies in general. So that's high on my list because, I don't think it's the most rewatchable movie. I will rewatch it just because I like, you know, Brad Pitt and is very good. But it's just, it's a very informative movie to one of my favorite sports to watch. And
I
appreciate it for that.
Great. I think it's a wonderful movie. One of the few movies I have purchased, and it's on my iPad at all times.
Very good.
I've watched it a lot on flights when I'm very bored and done with a book or done trying to work. I'm going to just steal from your list there because my number three was on your list. You didn't pick. Number three is Major League.
So I thought you were gonna say Field of Dreams. It is
all three of my movies from the mid 90s.
Yes.
Far?
Hey, Major League is so good.
Major League is unreal.
It has a lot of one liners. This was a movie for me that I hadn't seen because I think it's got to be rated R
for sure.
And so I didn't see it.
So did you have a rated R rule as a kid?
Well, yeah, it was just what my mom let me watch.
Right, so. But like when could you start watching?
I don't remember. That's a great question.
Were you in high school watching whatever movie you wanted?
No, I don't think
Did you have a curfew as a kid?
Yeah.
What time?
10. But once I got a scholarship, my parents said, do whatever you want. Just
no
don't
way.
Be an idiot.
That was
which was really nice. Because,
that was nice.
Because to be fair, like my sister and I both pretty like never, nobody really, my sister definitely never got in trouble. I never really did anything to get in trouble. But part of it was because from the golf, like I didn't go to parties. I wasn't doing any bad stuff as a kid. And I think my parents got that. So once I did get like this big kind of monkey off my back and this obviously a big help to, you know, like financially for college, it was kind of like I think they kind of said in their head, like, you haven't had a lot of fun. Go have some fun.
Gotcha.
Don't be an idiot. Like I felt like if I mess up once, I could come home when I wanted. But to be honest, most of the time I was just out like playing video games in my buddy's house. Like it wasn't like a big,
it's really night out. It's important as a parent to really read your kid. Right?
Sure. Yeah.
You're like, this kid's going to go play video games till midnight.
Yeah.
He's okay.
Yeah. So I think they knew, but yeah, it was, we had like a, I think also parents knew what rated R movies were worse. Like my parents were never big on like bad words. No one cared about bad words. I understand some do, but like I still say a lot of bad words.
You're really good at self-editing. What was the last word?
Dog snot? Yeah. I know not to, but I don't put the value in a bad word in the word. I put it in its intent. If I'm saying the F word at you, that's not right. If I say that, then I see how it's bad. But my parents kind of had me on that. But
he does that a lot, by the way. When he's not on the podcast, he just says
always.
The F
I
word
have to
me.
Berate
always
him.
Always just yelling at me.
But as far as like you know the graphic stuff, you know like the adult stuff, if my parents knew that would be a no-no for most of like
no basic
early
instinct
high school.
You're saying
did, no basic instinct out. So Major League finally got to watch and I fell in love with it like
great,
quickly
great movie.
Fell
that's,
in love
that's
with it. And now
number
it feels
three.
New like it I when I watch it, it feels like a new movie.
What's your number three?
My number three is Miracle.
Okay.
Hockey movie. I'm slowly starting to get into hockey. This movie though was not about hockey. This movie was about like patriotism and anybody could get fired up. That scene where he's saying again, 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 I feel like anyone who's played sports has been in that moment of just like, what do I need to do to like make you happy? Like coach, like what do I need to do to make you happy? And it's like, be an effing team, like
right.
Be a team. Like we're not from Valencia, California and you know, East Texas. We're from the United States, like, and so it just like blends so many things together. And it was also like, as I understand, such a huge moment for the whole country in way more ways than sports. Like it was like, we beat you Russia when Russia and the United States were having such difficult times. It's such a great story. And I thought that the movie was really well done, but it was more learning about the story through, the cinematography of it to really, for me, get it better than just reading an article.
You know, I wouldn't trade eras in terms of adulthood back 20 or 30 years. I mean, I feel like we live in a time where, think about this right now, what we're going through with the coronavirus. Think about if this happened in like 85 or 92 and there was no internet and there was no on-demand and there was no phones and there was no computers and you had books and your friends and games and that's it. It would be tough.
Imagine if you had to
interact with people that you live with and decided to legally marry. But I do wish in a way that we could go back sometimes to moments like that hockey game where the entire country, maybe the entire world's watching.
Didn't you kind of feel like that when Phelps, I think one of my favorite sporting events of all time,
Beijing,
was when he in the relay, because I felt like everyone in the whole country was rooting for I can't remember, not remember who finishes it off with like the coolest touch everyone by like 0.04 seconds.
Was it Lochte?
No, it wasn't Lochte. It was an older guy on the team.
Wasn't the last
no, Phelps
leg.
Wasn't it? Because okay. Phelps did, it was the inner IM. So he did the butterfly. The end is a freestyle, I think, finish. It might've been backstroke finish, but I just felt like when that was done, you could have called anyone and everyone have felt the same as you. Everyone was watching it. Everyone was into it.
So
and that
pumped.
Was my, that was maybe my miracle moment of like, we all wanted it because that's why the Olympics is fun. Cause we are all, that's why Tiger honestly makes golf fun. Now that I think about it, because everyone's kind of rooting for him more or less in the golf world. So if you call any of your golf buddies, like, do you see the Masters? Oh my God, this is the greatest moment of my life. Like the Olympics bring that out of you. And the miracle movie was like the first iteration of that I could see where everybody was in on that.
Like in these like old boxing matches and golf tournaments, think about 86 Masters. Think about being around your SD television with your friends and you're going, what, Jack Nicklaus? The weird thing would be not being able to rewind. That would have been tough.
That'd be tough.
Wait, did you see the putt? No, I was in the bathroom. Well, you're literally not going to see it for months unless you catch SportsCenter
tonight.
My
first big rewind moment was the Janet Jackson, Justin Timberlake Super Bowl. And we had just gotten DVR or TiVo or whatever it was. And just me and my mom were watching the Super Bowl together. And my mom was one, I must have been young, 11 or 12. Maybe a little older, but I just remember it happened and I thought I saw it happen, but I didn't know. And even my mom was like, what? And like rewound it and sees and goes, oh, okay. And moves along. And it was just like, that's when it was like, we need rewind.
We can rewind our televisions now.
Because what if that would have gone on? A lot of people would have
just
like,
never known.
I don't know if that
they'd
really
happened. They'd
have
read about it the next day.
Did you go number two?
No, my number two is great though. My number two is almost my number one.
Wow.
Shocking.
But it's still your number two.
It's not my, I battled on this one.
Are you going to tell your kids that? Hey, Henry,
listen.
You're almost my number two. You're great, you're just not quite number one.
You're almost my favorite. Should I rank my people I live with right now in my household?
We would do that every day.
Do you?
Yeah.
Who's yours today? Lacey?
Oh, no. Not quite the same. We rank just where we all stand in importance in this house, and it's Lacey, Scotty, me.
Okay, perfect. Like, you're third. All
sorry,
the
time. You're going with like your favorite people.
Yeah,
in
my favorites between my wife,
right now?
My wife, my kid, and my
your dog.
Right now, I would say, you know, Harlow's been a little needy lately.
Yeah,
you know, I love the pup, but
yeah,
you know, she knows we're home now. She's
she's getting
in our stuff a lot. So Harlow might be third. Dog might be third. I'm going to give Cindy one because she's the only one that's
really
going to listen
to this. Okay. And then, Henry, I'm going to play this for Henry the moment.
When Henry's 18, he's going to have daddy issues. He's going to go, I'll go back to this 2020 podcast. So my number two, I owned it on DVD.
We don't have any ties yet. Or
no.
Whatever.
We almost had an overlap, but you didn't
overlap.
Go with
Thank you. Hey, you're a pro.
No problem. So my number two, and I bet it's on one of your. I bet it's in yours. Blue chips.
No. Wow. Nice.
Blue chips.
Isn't that a little before? I mean, not. No. All jokes aside, when did that come out?
So it would have been when Shaq was either early professional.
Yeah, I feel like I missed out. See, I feel like I missed out on these movies.
I would say Blue Chips. I'll look it up. I bet Blue Chips was 95. Is my guess.
Okay.
You like Blue Chips?
Yeah, but like it's another one where I've seen it on TV, but I would never just like rent it to watch.
I owned it on DVD.
I was four when 94. That came out. I was three when that came out. So it's tough.
I was 10.
I know, but like imagine all the movies that came out between then, the sports movies that came out between then and when like I was 10, like where I could like focus on a movie.
You know, I've already mentioned how much I love Penny Hardaway. So obviously he's in the movie, which I loved. Shaq was in the movie. Thin, athletic Shaq.
Yeah.
Who is just a freak. And then, of course, you also get this glimpse into Shaq. When you rewatch Blue Chips now, you're like, oh, okay, no wonder this guy is this unbelievably entertaining human being.
Yeah.
He was so good at acting. Like it wasn't Kazam. You know what I'm saying? Like
he
was actually talking and doing.
He's charismatic as well. I mean, he's kind of does have it all.
He has it all.
He's underrated in the sense of in all the worlds that he fits into.
I watch Blue Chips, you know, probably twice a year. Every time I watch it, I love it. Great movie. Shaq's name is Neon in it. I mean, come on. How did it get better than that?
My number two, this is a fight again.
So my just so people at home understand, this is Max staring at his phone, just shaking his head back and forth.
I have so many options. All right, I'm making it. I bailed again.
Wow.
I'm gonna go with Rocky, whatever your favorite Rocky movie is. Like mine
Rocky. This is yours.
I'm just saying for everyone out there. I know that there's the one bad one, but Rocky in general, like the franchise of it, but especially like the first one, kind of changed sports movies to me because this isn't like I love the documentary sports movies. Like I like real true things.
Right.
I appreciate the history of sports and what it means to people and how it's shaped history. But this is not just a movie, but it feels so real. Like even like the new, like the Creed movies I love and they're not the best movies I've ever seen, but they hype me up and they make me, I mean, there's like, there's these cool, you know, you're going to keep getting hit in the face. You got to keep getting back up. It's how you react to like stuff that really drives people to be better. And it just comes from like a movie, like just like a random franchise of movie. But my Rocky, the first Rocky movie, I don't know. It just hit me. It's a great movie. That's also it. Like it's just a great movie.
Unreal movie.
It's hard to feel more jacked up. Watching
that movie in the sense of hitting stuff is how you left the first Fast and the Furious in your car. I had a teal, we call it the Teal Mac. It was a teal 1993 Chevy step-side truck. And the speedometer only went up to 85. That was as high as it went on the speedometer. And I got out of the Fast and the Furious movie and I was going 85. I mean, I was going 85. I might have been going faster, but that's all my truck told me I was going. And the same thing.
Officer, listen, I wasn't going 100.
100? This truck doesn't even go 100.
It says it goes 85.
Look at the truck. I don't build
trucks.
By
the way, when I was looking up like best sports movies, just like refresh my mind, Fast and Furious came up.
It was on the list?
Listen, there might not be a bigger Fast and Furious fan than me, but it's not as well. No, I don't know what sport they did. Even especially in the new ones, like they're barely driving anymore. They drive to the grocery store really fast. Yeah. And then you're like, okay, cool. We got the car party.
Throw nine cars out of an airplane.
Exactly.
All right. I mean, Rocky's one of the best. My top five.
Because my number one?
It's a golf movie. And then we'll lead into what we're
going to
do.
This is really going to set the stage.
My number one sports movie.
It has to be what my favorite golf movie is then.
Tin Cup.
Okay, cool. Hey, listen. There we go.
It's on your potential. Tin Cup is, you know, it's just start to finish great. Great entertainment. Maybe not
it's
the most
realistic.
Yeah, I mean, maybe not the most realistic.
But it's pretty realistic.
There are some, you know, you could nitpick some of the scoring moments in the U.S. Open because I think I've tried to do it a couple of times. He shoots a trillion that first day.
Yeah.
And he's somehow back into it.
Well, but didn't he go 80-63?
He shot higher than 80, I think. I think he shot 84.
Okay.
That first round. I mean, he just shot a lot. It was one of those things that they could have made it, they could have softened the score and it wouldn't have changed the movie at all.
Yeah.
Like if you'd have gone, he shot 78, nobody at home is going to go, well, that doesn't seem realistic.
Also, playing that hole in real life does ruin it a little bit because it's like a really hard par four and not a reachable par five. And the green feels is humongous in real life. I don't know why. Like, when I saw it, I'm like, no. Like, I love this movie.
I could peel something on the screen. But I love Tin Cup. I've seen it as much as any movie I've ever seen in my life. Awesome. Everything about it's great. I love that they did the AT&T Pebble Beach the next year. They paired Costner and Tiger together.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Which is great.
That's awesome.
So, fun.
Good. My favorite, and this is in my top favorite five favorite movies of all time, just in general, is Remember the Titans. It's everything I want in
a
sports
movie.
That's
a run through your own brick wall movie, too.
Run through a brick wall. It is touches on some serious social issues that I'm very, very much into. I really am so tired of the underlying racism that goes on in this country, and it is 2020. I think it was an important movie in that aspect. I think it is just a great, the choreography of the actual football, like the last play with the reverse and Rev blocking, like you're just like, that's phenomenal. The nickname of Sunshine and his character in general is great. Every character felt very important. Everyone felt kind of, you could attach yourself to them. I thought that it being, I don't know how true it is, but again, I love the documentary type movies. I like when they turn into a movie, but I like that it is about based on a true story. It touched everything for me. And Denzel Washington is probably, again, in my top 3 to 5 favorite actors. I absolutely love every part of that movie. And like I said, it's in my top 5 of all movies in general.
So you've now watched The Wire.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Favorite
you love
show.
It. Do you have a hard time now watching Remember the Titans with Wood Harris and now just not? I just feel like he's Avon.
I have
a hard time seeing him not.
Well, I just got off the phone with my mom and she said she was trying to think of a movie and she was trying to think of Remember the Titans. She said it was Avon's.
Yes. See what I'm saying?
Yeah. Since I watched Remember the Titans so much before, I actually saw
Avon as
was
the character.
Julius. Okay. So like it was the opposite, but yes, I agree. It was hard to watch The Wire knowing that that guy is one of my favorite people in a movie.
And you know, the way they made Remember the Titans, obviously they softened language. They wanted it to be a movie that people could go see. I believe it's probably PG. If it's PG-13,
yeah.
I'd be shocked.
I think it's PG, yeah.
And so, you know, you see him and he does the thing like you're talking about dog snot earlier.
Yeah.
He does a lot of that terminology in the movie where he doesn't cuss. He says other words.
Yeah.
And you're like, Avon Barksdale wouldn't be doing that. But Remember the Titans is...
Well, it has two of my... I mean... It has Left Side, Strong Side is as good as it gets.
So good.
But the scene where Gary and Julius are supposed to get to know each other and Gary said, let's just get this over with. I'm sick and tired of your guys' attitudes. And Julius says something like attitude reflects leadership, captain. Like it's just like
such a great moment.
But then Gary getting it and being like, hey, I'm big on this too in life. It's okay to mess up. Gary realizes I've been wrong. Like I'm wrong. You can still, just because you're wrong does not mean you need to continue. You have to continue being wrong. You can go fix it, whether that's not dieting well, if you mess up your diet, if you haven't been working out or you did and then took a dip, like you can get back on the horse and go back. He looked at it, he goes, you know what? Order a Peloton. He looked inwards and said, you're right, Julius, you said that your attitudes are because my leadership is stunk. And you're probably right. I'm going to put that on me. And then he gets better. And I thought that was very cool. Again, both for the sports part of it, but for like the social progression that we need to like work towards.
So you said the action, right? You know, the football action was so good. I mean, I think about unnecessary roughness was like that, where you're watching it and you're like, these dudes are lighting each other up. The opposite of that, the Matt Damon golf swing is terrible. And all of the tennis scenes in Wimbledon. Have you ever seen the movie Wimbledon?
No, I haven't.
I don't know what they did. I don't know how to make movies shocking. I know if people listen, you're probably shocked. I'm not a director of movies.
Count me in. Yeah, I'm shocked.
They did something with computers the way they hit the tennis balls.
Yeah, so it just makes it
looks awful. Unfortunately, I've probably watched the movie Wimbledon like 30 times. Yeah, it's always on
so
TV.
So it kind of ruined it.
Not a very good
movie. This is actually, now that you mentioned it, this goes back to why I like Coach Carter so much. The basketball plays are real basketball plays. Like they feel very much legitimate. Like the way that they run, they do a good job because they don't run through too many sequences for too long, but they'll run one play and hit it. And you're like, okay, cool. Like that was real life basketball. So it makes you want to be more involved in it, but it must be so hard. Like think about Miracle. Like hockey is so intense. How do you do a scene at all, let alone make it look like it was the real
full
one.
Speed hockey.
Yeah. Golf is the easiest. It's just the hardest to get a golf swing that matches. Costner's swing is really good.
Good.
But I mean, again, it goes back to what I was saying about golf swings that you can tell where a guy is a really good or not. It's just like the follow through isn't. It's just, you could just tell. It's like, okay, you're not, but I'm going to let it go because it is pretty dang good.
He's hitting a lot of six irons from 140.
I mean, they go from Peter Jacobson to like, you know, Costner.
Peter Jacobson's
pretty
swing.
Oh,
the one time they show him full swing, he's like in his prime.
It's so good.
It was perfect.
Yeah, his swing always was. And so it's like, that's where, of course, you have to get past it. And that's why, to me, Remember the Titans looks like football to me.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back. So I asked you this to follow up with this to bring it a little bit back to golf. I am of the camp that there is a gold, silver, and bronze in golf movies, and that's it.
Yes,
and then there's a huge gap. Obviously, Caddyshack, Happy
Although
Gilmore.
I'm going to add one. What's the greatest game ever? Greatest game ever played is really good. Oh wow!
I'm not even
watch
sure
it
I've
before
it
you
once.
Watch it before you go to Brookline whenever that U.S. Open is.
Okay,
it's gonna it actually maybe that's why I like it so much because now that I've it also was sweet spot of when I was growing up, but that it actually is wild when you go there how ridiculous the story is.
So this is such a thing to say, and I'm not trying to make it sound like this. So just understand that when it comes out of my mouth, that's not what I meant. But I read that book this past year, and that got me so fired up to go there because the book, to your point, lays out the history of this place. And you've told me this twice now, going to see where the house is compared to the green
And honestly, rattled. What's even crazier is if you watch the movie, you can like see it. Like you don't even have to imagine it from the
book. No, but my imagination is next level. All right. So
rank
your three golf ones.
Golf and say the three.
Caddyshack, Happy Gilmore, Tin Cup.
Fair. See, and I'm okay with this. I know that we're like people are going to disagree and everyone has their, but these are the three most talked about golf movies, I think.
For sure.
As much as I love Greatest Game Ever Played, you haven't even seen, I don't think that it is something that's almost like a necessity to watch if you play the game of golf. Like these three feel like you do. If you haven't seen these three, it just feels like you've missed out on a lot of golf jokes with your boys on like a Tuesday.
You listening to this podcast, you've seen these three.
Yeah. Joe and I used to have like a mandatory once a tournament or once a day, like Happy Gilmore quote. Like you had to say something.
So what's your three? I want you to just bang them out.
Well,
three,
Tin
two,
Cup
one.
Are all of our number ones, or both of our number ones.
Because
like we had mentioned, Tin Cup, again, we don't need to go on, but it's really great. I was close with that though, with Happy Gilmore. Completely opposite movies, not realistic at all, but Happy Gilmore is the one of the funniest movies I've ever seen, and definitely the funniest golf movie. Also like oddly realistic in the sense that if you brought somebody like that into golf, like that's kind of how it would go. I love Caddyshack. Everything's relative, so I don't want people to think that I don't think it's a great movie, but I don't even think it to me, it's close to the two. Again, it might be because the first time I saw it was not in my sweet spot of this,
right,
of this moment. I get a lot of it, but the lines that I say from Tin Cup and from Happy Gilmore come out so much more often than Caddyshack. Caddyshack is good. I thought it goes kind of, it's a crazy movie. It's crazy.
It's just scenes, right? It's just wild scenes.
But in relation to the other two, I think it misses.
This is not good radio. I have the same rankings.
Yeah,
as you.
I had a feeling we would because we see it similarly.
Tin Cup, Happy Gilmore, Caddyshack.
Caddyshack's awesome, man. But like, it compared to, I mean, even Happy Gilmore is a crazy movie, but like the storyline seems to be pretty obvious.
Well, I mean, we've seen it, to be fair. I mean, we saw John Daly,
yeah,
out of nowhere and had this crazy following.
Yeah, it's like changed
which
golf.
Is still one of the most underrated sports stories of all time is this alternate gets
11th
in
and, or 9th alternate.
Yeah, and wins the PGA Championship and would look like him and hit it like him. And you know what? In a little bit lesser way than John Daly is Anthony Kim. I feel like Anthony Kim came on the scene. He was brash. He played aggressive. He didn't always say what everybody wanted him to say. And I feel like people loved him because of that. You know,
sure.
I mean, when these guys that aren't your cookie cutter golfers come out here and become something that's a superstar, especially in golf more than anything, it would be probably not to the level of Happy Gilmore, but it would be close.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Shane, we have an exciting thing to do today. I've come up with. You were generous enough to donate money to the San Antonio Food Bank when I completed the spelling bee.
Golly,
a week or two ago.
Have you used anti-disestablishmentarianism?
Absolutely
in any
not, because I can barely say it, man.
Okay.
So
what about Flockenocka Hill pillification?
I can't say that at all. So I decided to give you a chance to take some money out of my pockets. I have here 11 or 10. Trivia questions for you.
Well, is it 10 or 11, Max?
Do you want to do this or no? I have 11 or 10.
You just say no.
It's yeah, done. Okay, never mind.
We squashed
never
this.
Mind. I have 10 or 11 of these that I looked up. They're all golf trivia questions. Everyone you get right, I will donate $100 to the food bank of your choice or charity of your choice, whatever you'd like. So some are easy, some are very, very difficult.
Okay.
I didn't know. I'm going to try to go in an order where it progressively gets... Nah, never mind. I'm just going to go random. So I'll start with a mini layup. Tiger has a very famous cut streak. How many cuts in a row did he make?
Was it 142?
Very nice. All right. So
that's $100.
That is $100.
There should be a ding added in.
Ding.
Will you do that? Will you do the noise?
All right. Ding. Ka-ching. Second. Tiger Woods has the record for the most weeks held, holding the world number one ranking. How many weeks? If you get it within five, I will donate.
583.
Wow. That's where your brain, that was good. 683 though.
683.
All right. No ka-ching. Like a mini, like a, and then like kind of fade off. All right. There, who got second at the 97 Masters?
Oh, it wasn't, I don't think it was it Constantina? Was it Rocca?
I'm asking you the question.
Yeah.
You don't get to ask me the question.
It was, you know what? It was Rocca or Tom Kite, I think. I'm going to go Tom Kite.
Great work. I helped you out by not telling right away because I knew you'd get there. Tom Kite, which I thought was, I had no idea. I just rewatched it like 30 minutes ago.
Did you? Yeah.
But yeah, Constantina Rocca played with Tiger.
That's right.
But you know, didn't even finish top five, but I think Tiger, Kite, Watson or something like that.
Okay.
But interesting. One of those random ones, you just forget who gets a lot of these. You forget who gets second.
And especially, I think, you know what I think's weird about the golf world in that stretch is you kind of separate it pre-Tiger and post-Tiger.
Oh, yeah.
And you forget that the guys like Tom Kite won the 92 US Open, right? You almost forget that that's only 5 years later.
Yeah,
he was still really good.
For sure.
You know, Zinger, Curtis, these guys, they still were playing.
Yeah.
Man. You know, they were still playing in 97.
The craziest part about and Lacey was even laughing about it, about watching the Masters, was they were talking about on like the eighth hole, I think Watkins is talking about Tiger coming up. And he's like, he's got a 9-shot lead. And at last year's national championship, he also had a 9-shot lead. So he should feel comfortable. And I'm like, oh my God, he was in college like the prior year. Like, how absurd. Now he's winning the Masters by 9. Like, and he left after 2 years. Like, he's, it just like put in perspective how absurd what he did. And he already won him multiple times before that. All right. Question.
So 2 for 3.
This one I was going to, this one's also, I think you'll get lowest score in a major round. And who was it?
Grace. 62.
And where was it?
It was at the Open Championship. What was it? 2 years ago. So that would have been, I feel like it's one of those courses that, what was it? Like St. George's or Hoylake or something? Which one was it?
Birkdale.
Was it Birkdale?
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like it's one of those.
You just watched that one.
What'd you say?
Isn't that the one you just watched?
Yeah, but I watched the final round. I didn't watch the other days.
All good. So you got that one. This one I was going to let you.
By the way, there's been, if you go back in time, there have been some rounds where, I mean, Phil, for instance, you know, 62 is like in the hole and doesn't go in.
Oh, God.
There's been like 5 or 6 where
Phil had the 59 that was in the hole.
He had two of those. He had 59 on Waste Management on 9. And then he has the 62.
Tiger had his lip out at Southern Hills.
Southern Hills.
Nick Price had a crazy lip out at the Masters.
And you know, and Duffner had a bunny.
Yeah.
And not only did he miss the bunny, but he almost missed the 1 for 63 when he won the PGA.
All right. I was going to give you a grace, shout out to Brennan, to getting on this, but you've just been so annoying about this person that I'm going to make you get it on the nose.
Oh,
Mangrum. How many PGA wins does Lloyd Mangrum have?
I think it's 11 or 12. 12.
36.
Wait, Lloyd Mangrum.
Biggest fan.
Oh, that was top 10s. 36 wins.
Good guess there, Shane.
Not my best.
Mr. Icicle's biggest fan knows nothing.
Mr. Icicle. That's literally the only time I've ever looked him up was 2 weeks ago.
Okay, what is the highest winning score ever of the Masters? And I'm going to give it to you that there are two that happened in the 50s and before, but one of these is not crazy long ago. So that's why.
Well, Zach Johnson's was high. I remember that, but I think that was like plus 4-ish for the tournament. I think Zach Johnson was. I'm trying to think of another one that would have been brutally high. I'll go with Zach Johnson.
But you need to call the score.
Oh, it was plus 4, plus 5. Oh, I'll go plus 4.
Plus 1.
Good thinking, was it? Though. Okay.
Yeah. Again, that's why I want to rewatch this one. We know nothing about it.
And Tiger was there.
Second or third.
It was plus 1 he shot. God, I thought it was higher than that.
Okay. This one.
Did you say there was two that were plus?
There were three that were plus. 54 maybe, and then one earlier than that, I think. Which is pretty crazy when you think about like how many U.S. Opens have been high. It was hard to get this one because I wanted to do the highest major ever, but a lot of them were from like 1905.
For sure, right.
This one was the most, you know, obviously a testament to the golf course. This one, it will be worth 200, and I'll do an extra 200 if you get the second part right.
Okay.
How many majors does Annika Sörenstam, how many majors wins does she have? She's so good.
She's really good. I feel like it's less than you think.
It was less than I thought.
It's less than you think.
There's your hint for your 200.
Oh, I'm going to guess 9.
Oh, that was close. 10. I was gonna
10, okay.
Now I'll give you another, a bonus 200. I know you didn't get it, but a bonus 200 if you guess her total wins in her career.
Ooh.
This was more than I thought.
Yeah. It was crazy. Like 54.
Okay. Close. 72.
72. Okay.
I wanted to add that one because I feel like we don't really talk enough about the LPGA tour and some of these things.
72.
Like,
and what was the window? Do you know what the window was?
No, I didn't. I didn't get the window.
Let's look it up because I'd be interested in knowing what that window was. Because again, I think you're right. I feel like there's people that get lost a little bit in the history of sport. She's only 49 currently. So she wins 72 LPGA Tour events. First one in 95. Last one in 08.
That's pretty amazing.
Pretty decent stretch. Her 2005 was pretty good. She won the MasterCard Classic, 2 majors, 10 events in 05. Not bad.
Okay. Now,
she won the Chick-fil-A Charity Championship by 10.
Is that good?
She won the Mizuno Classic in 04 by 9, and then she won by 8 a major, 10, and 8 another event in 05.
Yeah, she was Tiger.
What? Like, what are you doing to win when you're like, what what has to happen for a pro to win events by that many?
It's just how every part of your game has to be like, you know, when you win, you're like, what happened? Well, yeah, I putt it really well. And like, you just have all four of those things. The four main things are just like locked in. Short game's good. You're getting a little lucky. You're putting great and you're hitting it great. I mean, it just has to be. I mean, it wouldn't make sense otherwise. He go name the top five in the career money list.
Career money right list.
Now. Well, come on, think about it. There's only two I think you could leave off this.
So, I mean, Tiger, Phil. Forget.
Yeah.
So the career money list is a hard one to nail down because it's all modern.
Yeah. That's why this should be easier.
Yeah. Vijay.
Thank you. All right. Here's the two that are tricky.
So Tiger, Phil, Vijay. I don't think it's Ernie. I'm wondering if it's Rory. And I think Adam Scott and Sergio might have a place up there. I'll go Sergio.
Sergio's 10.
Is he 10th? Okay.
I'm just trying to think of nowhere near any of this.
Okay. Trying to think of longevity. And
the price point you have to get to is like 55 million. So think about that. It's around 55 million to get to fifth.
I'll go Ernie.
I didn't mean Rory was nowhere near it, but.
Right. I'll go Ernie.
No. Ernie's close, I think. Furyk. You're missing Furyk.
Furyk. What was Stricker close or no?
No. Dustin Johnson, fifth.
Wow.
Yeah. Dustin had something where he won, you know, every year for 8 years.
Right. He won like starting in 11, he won every year. So Tiger's one.
Tiger's at like an absurd number, like 120. Phil is at 90. Vijay and Furyk, I think, are at like 70-ish. And then I think Dustin's at 55.
Dustin's fifth on this list.
Double check that, but I'm pretty sure that's
right. That's unbelievable.
We did this the other day in my group chat, and it was interesting because I guess Sergio for five, just like you did. Furyk made sense just because longevity, he's won a lot.
Right,
but
for sure.
He has as many top, he has a ton of top tens.
Because I mean, he was on the 92 Arizona National Championship game and then was National Championship team, and then from then on. The money thing is tough.
Yeah, it's. I mean, like, Jack Nicklaus has made like $5 million or something on tour. It's so funny compared to, you know, they're him and Tiger, the two best golfers of all time, and Tiger's got him by $115 million. Dollars.
Not even close, right? All right, what else we got? Okay. We have all time records. Here we go. I'm gonna find the amount of money you're asking about.
Okay. Oldest person to win on tour. A PGA Tour event. You name the age. I'll throw in a little extra.
Oldest major winner?
Nope,
or oldest?
Just right. Well, that's the next question. So oldest just PGA Tour.
One second. I'm just trying to find this thing while I've got this thing up about the money.
Oh my God. Okay. I already found it.
Did you already find it?
Yeah. So we finally confirmed the millennial to the baby boomer. Dustin Johnson, 62 million. Adam Scott, 55 million. Justin Rose, 53. Rory's 52. It felt like not. It was like he's 10 million off though. Think about that. That's pretty crazy. He's 10 million off.
Yeah, you said he was way off.
Sergio's 10th.
So how long till Rory catches him?
Going to be a while because Dustin is not close to done winning. They're not that far off as far as like career paths have gone. It's going to be a while. In my opinion, a long time. It's going to come. 10 million is a lot to make up. You got to think even if you made that up once a year for 10 years against Dustin Johnson, that's pretty impressive.
Where are you?
I don't know. I looked up 360
all time.
Yeah, just crushing it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that's amazing. You're
gonna be in the top 350 before we know it. Does the Aeon money count or no?
I'm gonna make sure it does.
That's what I make sure.
All right, so oldest player to win on tour,
Oldest PGA Tour winner. Or major.
No, I'm gonna do that. That one's next.
I think oldest winner is Snead.
Good job. Do you know where and how old?
I feel like Greensboro sounds right. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Because
Davis Love almost did it 6 months before he would have been the oldest one at the same golf course.
I'm trying to think of how old he was. I'm going to guess like 53?
52.
Okay.
Good work. Now, oldest major winner.
I think that was Jack, wasn't it? Jack was 46.
Julius Burros, 48 years old at the PGA.
Oh.
At like Pecan Valley.
Can we get an addendum on that? Can we get the Tom Watson 09?
Yeah, he won half a major or three quarters of a major. And then, by the way, rewatched the Retief 01 US Open.
How many times did he hit bunkers? Oh, which one? Did you watch Southern Hills or no?
Yeah, Southern Hills 01. that Stewart Cink thing is the hardest thing I've ever watched. I mean, I thought the Retief thing was hard to watch. That Stewart Cink thing is the set. He had a perfect putt on 18 for par from like 25 feet and missed it and got up. And he quick hit it, but he shoved it. It was, when you know what happens, you're like, oh my God. But then Retief, like, 12 feet and blew it 3.5 feet by, and then he hit 3.5 feet for bogey.
He had to make the bogey putter. Brooks wins.
Oh my God, it was absurd.
It was really the I need to go back and watch Cink, because the whole thing was weird. You know, he had a good, like you said, he had a good putt, and then he just kind of rushed through it.
It's awful to watch. Okay, so the last one, and this one's a little more intricate.
How much do we have going?
You are up $400. There have been 13 people who have won six majors or more, 13 men who have won six majors or more. If you can name 11 of them, I'll donate $200.
All right. So six majors or more.
Six majors or more. If you do all 13, I don't know.
All right. So six is the number. Okay. So let's go Tiger.
Yep.
Jack.
Yep.
Arnie. Player.
Arnold Palmer. Arnold Palmer, player. Yeah.
Hogan. Snead.
Yeah.
So I'm at six.
You're at six.
Watson.
Yep.
Wow. I was nervous about Watson. But I think does he have eight?
He has eight.
Yeah. Never a PGA. The lone missing piece in his Grand Slam. Bobby J.
Yep.
That's eight. Six. So who am I forgetting here? I mean, it's not Faldo. I think he's at five. We need who? So old guys. Did I say Byron Nelson?
Old guys.
Did I say Byron Nelson?
No.
Byron Nelson.
He's not on it.
He's not at six. No. So I'm at eight. It's just so hard not writing it down. I need to write it down.
Sorry.
I've said Snead. I said Hogan. I said Bobby Jones. Hagen.
Very nice.
Walter.
He has 11. Okay, he's third on the list.
That's nine.
That's nine. Come on, Shane. Two more.
I need two more guys that have won six majors.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking there's no modern guy. Phil doesn't have six. Phil has three
just
masters.
Just think of eras.
I know. I'm trying to think.
The eras. Who's in the Nicklaus era?
I said player and I said Watson.
There's
and I
one
said
more.
Arnie. There's one more with
Come
six.
Come on. One more huge. There's only four or five guys in that era that
I haven't said them.
Main guys, like hitters.
Trevino.
There you go.
Trevino. And then are we thinking? How many does Trevino have?
He has six.
Six on the dot.
On the dot.
So what are we at? Are we at 10?
We are at 10. You need one more. Come on, Shane.
Older guys. I'm assuming it's probably what's making the numbers here.
Yes, but there's one player younger than Trevino on this list left that you should really know.
I probably know who he is. I'm just trying to think of...
You may or may not have mentioned him.
Already? What?
Come on, Shane.
I didn't say him?
You're a colleague of his. Like, he looks up to you. Come on, Shane. I'm trying to give away money.
A colleague of mine.
A colleague of yours who looks up to you, wants to be just like you.
It's won seven majors?
Has won six majors. Has same field as you. Not a lefty.
I mean, you're throwing it. You're throwing.
Okay, one of these other guys is, I think, the only person, or not the only, but the first person to ever make a double eagle at the Masters.
Oh, okay. Okay. I want to get your guy.
Come on. He's
colleague
not American.
Of mine. I'm throwing off
he's
on
not American.
Not Faldo.
Yes.
Oh, I said him already.
Yeah, you said he had five. He has six.
Okay. I was like, colleague of mine.
Yeah, I mean, he looks up to you.
I was so confused by that. What did he win? He won three Masters. He wins
British Open. I don't have it all up here. Sorry. Sorry.
He must have won. He must have won three British Opens, right?
Probably.
Sarazen's on the list.
Sarazen's on the list. And who, Harry who? Vardin is who
Vardin
was going to be
the
hardest one. But good. Pretty good. All right. There's $200. And that concludes my trivia for charity.
We're going to take a quick break and be right back. All right, so we're at an hour 20. Let's do two questions.
Okay,
you have questions.
I have so many questions for you this week. I'm gonna save them. I'm gonna roll them over.
Okay,
I'm gonna roll them over. All right. So this question from Randy Matheny. He said, which guys on tour are going to need a size or two bigger clothes when y'all get back out there? I don't know who the answer to that is, but I will say it goes back to my question of like all these guys are going to have the really pretty swings and people are going to look different. Like whether it be more, Rory might come back as like the fittest man alive.
Yeah, I'm serious. He looks like
Patrick Rodgers has been working out like crazy. All these guys have been working out, hitting a lot of balls in their net. So we're going to have a serious optical difference with quite a few people.
He's like, this guy did the workout. And this guy did post.
This guy's been working on a swing, and this guy's been working on the putting on the mat. You know, there's going to be all kinds of things. One of my favorite questions from Robbie Vegas, Rob 1563 GK, would breaking 80 be the 59 for an 18 handicap? I would say no, but the reason I wanted to bring up this question is that I love about it is this is why I love golf. Like everyone has a 59, quote unquote. Like it doesn't matter your skill level. If you break 90 and you haven't done it before, that is sick. Like that is so cool. And that's golf. Like, I don't know what your low is, but if you ever break your low, it's like so fun. Like that's why we play the game of golf. And then it all becomes relative as you get better. Like, you know, some people's best or favorite rounds are actually not that low, but it's because that day was really difficult for them. That's why I love golf. And that's why I like this question so much. I wouldn't say it's quite 59 because 59 is like the rarefied air. Because
do you think 79 is the number for that then? An 18 handicap shooting 79, so they broke 80 for the first time?
That's what they're getting at but for an 18 handicap. But my point is that an 18 handicapper is would be trending then towards whatever. Like professional golf, like that.
Like you're not going to shoot 55.
Sure.
Right.
Sure. So that's why I think it's a little different. But it's the same. But my point is it's in the same mind, right. Like space in that regard. Like that's why golf to me is so cool. Everyone has their like if you ever hit a 495 yard drive, like look at like how cool is that? We have a question just about the TS4 driver, the Titleist TS4 driver, yeah, what yeah. I like low and spinning. Dislike. From Eric Barrington. The point of this is not only to plug Titleist, which they deserve right now because they are getting zero exposure from us golfers, but it's really to say that the importance in drivers, I think, to look. Some people like drivers to be a little spinnier so you can the ball holds its line better. Some like lower spin. But in general, what we're all going for is professionals is a spin rate in the 2000s, usually the mid to low 2000s, and a ball that can launch up in the air and do that as well. So that's, again, like that's why I have my Titleist driver, my TS4, is because I can do that. But that's with all drivers, that's what every professional golfer is looking for. Like when they test their new one out, it's not all just distance because you need it to be playable as well.
You and I are now 1-0 as teammates, by the way. Who's golf teammates?
Oh yeah, we smashed. I don't know about smash. We got strokes.
We got two shots.
We beat Brandon Harkins and Joel Damon.
And you
felt good.
You had a great birdie on 17.
Thanks, man. Hey, just thanks.
You didn't really want a skin, but it was a good shot and a good putt.
Unbelievable that wasn't a skin.
It's like 240 yard par three into the wind.
Here's a question from Martin McSports. If professional golf was an option as a career, what would you be doing? But the real question is, what would you be doing if you weren't broadcasting?
Man,
being a superstar podcaster?
I don't know. I mean,
writing?
Yeah, I mean, but I'm assuming I'm not doing any of that. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I got
you have
honest.
A voice for auctioneer.
I would.
No, you would be the EA Sports guy, or you'd be the guy who does the movie trailers where it's like once in a time. That would be Shane.
Imagine.
That'd be great.
Imagine if Happy quit hockey. Decided to take his talent.
This
to
is
golf.
The behind the music Happy Gilmore.
That's right. It's VH1 Happy Gilmore deep dive.
Yeah. My answer to this, I'd just be homeless. Whatever. Lacey would have to work a lot more at her real estate job.
You said you'd get it in your PGA Tour profile.
Yeah, but I've told you that I've realized from meeting you, it's way too hard and I couldn't do it.
Yeah. I mean, you might like maybe you're an agronomist. You know, maybe you're doing.
But my divot patterns is so bad. I could never be an agronomist.
Point. Yeah, it wouldn't work. Couldn't design golf clubs. You don't know enough about the clubs or the balls.
I don't. I just know what goes straight.
Yeah. I mean, do you know what your swing weight is in your driver.
That's probably in a D or something. People always say D4. I had this conversation with Ashton or the other day. He goes, dude, my driver was all set up about it. It was D4. And I was just doing like the smile and nod. Like, I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm reading the Andre Agassi book right now that I've never read before. And it's unreal already. And he's talking about I'm sure golf bags are similar. He was talking about how his tennis bag, he packs it. He said, I packed it. You know, this was my
briefcase. Oh, so someone's missing.
Yeah, he was just like, like my kids can do this and my wife can do this. But he goes, the golf bag is, or the tennis bag is mine. And he said, I pack it. I know where everything is. He said, if there was an extra sock in it, I would know the weight.
I believe that.
And there was a story about Tiger back in the day when he was testing drivers.
Driver shafts.
And he said all this stuff. I mean, it's probably true, but I have a hard time buying it.
I do too, but I don't know, man.
Like
he said
he swatted away a golf ball one time in golf ball testing, laughed at the guy, like, and the guy was doing it to mess with him. It was like let's say it was a Pro V and Tiger's playing the Nike.
That's wild.
And he hit it away like, ha ha.
So the driver story, for people who don't know, is they had Tiger test 5 Nike drivers back in the day. And he, at the end, they said, which one did you like the best? And he said, I like the lightest one the best. And they said, no, Tiger, they're all 74 grams. Like, whatever. He goes, no, one of them's lighter, and they weighed them all, and one of them was 73 grams. And he literally felt the difference between 1 gram. Now, I'm going to say this. For everyone else in the world, I would believe, or I would be a little bit more leaning on it. It's fake. Dude, some of these Tiger things I've heard, like, you know, the Jason Day thing I was joking with you about, where Jason Day asked him how he hits a 60-yard wedge, and Tiger says some answer about he just kind of works on his hand speed. And, like, there's this pause, and everyone nods. It's in a TaylorMade commercial, and he nods. And then Jason Day, God bless him for this, because it's what everybody, he goes, all right, so can you explain that for like a normal person?
Right, like what does that
but
mean?
I think Tiger gets it. So I do kind of believe that Tiger could do it. But somebody asked me this question, I think today, about golf balls. If you threw me three different brands of golf balls and I hit them, I actually, and even if you gave me probably, it would be harder with a Titleist Pro V1X versus a Pro V1.
I play
the Pro V1. Okay. They become a lot more uniform. But back in the day, I could tell you the difference, especially if I was putting with it. But, you know, even like most of the golf balls, if I catch them, I could tell you a difference. Because with the brands, not like Titleist to...
So throw
like
it Callaway to you one to hand Titleist, catching
I
could,
it. I used to... The,
we might
the
have to do this.
Old,
we
I can say this out. The old Nike ball was so bad that I would pick it up and I couldn't believe people play golf with it. It felt so wrong. Now I do get to like Titleist is you know, everyone kind of, not everyone, but like most people agree it's the number one ball in golf.
Right.
So it is kind of the hardest.
They should use that as the slogan.
Yeah, you guys can pay me back for that later. But yeah, you can like their outside is so simple. Like its feel is very, how do you say it? It's like just traditional. It's like
consistent.
You've gotten used to it. It's consistent.
Right. All right, last one.
This one, it was, I want to know your answer. If you have it off the top of your head, if you don't, I have mine. This is why I want to do it. From Summers Mike Winter 7 on Twitter said, most memorable round of golf. Do you have one?
Most memorable round of golf in my life. I'll let you go.
Okay. This is one of my favorite stories. And it's most memorable to me. It's only 9 holes.
Okay.
I woke up one morning, super tragic, sad news. My mom calls me in to her room, which was never good. And it's early in the morning on a weekend. And she says, hey, I have some really bad news. And I thought that one of like my grandma had passed away, because she had that look in her face that someone passed away. She says, your cousin, Andrew, passed away. My cousin was 22 years old, 21 years old. And I couldn't believe it, like shock. He was like, kind of, you know, looked up to him here. I was probably 16 years old, maybe. I couldn't believe it. I was shocked. I didn't really know what to do. So I got in, I went, changed into golf clothes, got in my car and just drove to the golf course. And I didn't even know what I was going to do there. I was crying on the way. I'm sitting on the golf course just because it's my happy place. Also goes back to like the reason I love golf and why sucking at golf so bad 3 years ago was so difficult, because it's supposed to be your like place to release things. And I'm just sitting on the range. I might've hit some golf balls. I can't remember. I'm just sitting there just like, I don't even know what I was doing. And my buddy Andrew, which was ironic because my cousin's name Andrew, my buddy Andrew comes over and goes, hey, do you want to go play golf with my dad? And I was like, sure. And they don't know anything that's happened. They don't get it at all. I'm like, sure. I mean, what the heck else am I going to do? So I go, I'm in my own cart. First hole's par 5, hit a 5-iron to like a foot, make eagle. Well, I make the turn in 28, maybe 29, one of the two. I mean, it's like the best round of golf. I could not care less.
Right.
28 or 29. And I'm sure, you know, Andrew's a good golfer, played golf in high school golf. Like, he's a good golfer. His dad is, you know, whatever golfer. I'm sure they, looking back on it, they must have been like, holy cow, what a round. Like, this is crazy. He's going to, you know, see, again, they know nothing about what's gone on. I'm pretty somber. And as I'm walking to the ninth green, I get a text from, or a phone call from Chris, who I've mentioned on this before, and Casey, my two like closest family friends and basically family to me. I guess my mom had told them that what had happened, and being like the best big brother types they could be, they called me and said, hey man, we heard what happened. We're picking you. We know you're at the golf course. We're picking you up. I'm like, all right. It was a kind of like a no. They're like, we're going to go play golf somewhere else down the road, that like at Robinson Ranch. It was a golf course. I'm like, all right. And so I finished the ninth hole. I look at Andrew's dad and I say, hey guys, like, I'm going to take off. And I remember the look in their eyes was like, what? Like, why? And I didn't want to talk about it because I would have been sad. I was like, ah, it's whatever. And like, I could feel them being like, you're going to shoot 59. Like,
right,
have a chance to. And I was like, yeah. And I got in the car. We, you know, they both picked me up and drove to another golf course and played a whole other random nine holes I couldn't tell you one thing about. But it was my most memorable one because it put in perspective why I love golf, because that's where the first place I went to after I heard this bad news. And it also put into perspective how unimportant 28 or 29 was. Like, right. It's crazy. I can't even remember what I shot. I just know it was dumb low and it had a two in front of it. And it also was just a great day because it's like when I reconfirm why two of my friends are close friends.
Yeah.
Which is great.
I was just trying to think, you know, for a second. I played in a three-man scramble, which is really weird. They had a three-man.
Yeah, why does that never happen?
I don't know. It was in Carthage, Texas. It was at this golf course called the Carthage Country Club, and I played with my dad and his brother, my uncle Doug, who I mentioned earlier in the podcast, and we played and we won it. I just remember because, you know, I'm kind of a scramble gamer. I feel like I play my best golf in scrambles.
Well, listen, you get to hit a driver as hard as you want. That's
how far is the hole? I gotta throttle it back. And
they must love you.
And my dad's business is in Carthage, and obviously he'd sponsored a hole or whatever. I just remember he was so happy. I remember he was riding with my uncle. This was a few years ago. He was riding with my uncle and I was following him. We were going to get dinner after we won the thing. And he told us to pull up and he's in the passenger. He said, Doug's going to pull over. I'm going to get a couple of beers. To like have the passenger's going to have a couple of roadies on the way to dinner. And I'd never heard my dad say that. I'd never seen my dad do that. Obviously, it's not legal, again, you know, for the passenger to be drinking open container beer. But it was East Texas. But I just remember that moment because I just remember my dad. You know, I mean, you win it with two of your favorite people in the world.
For sure.
They were very happy. So that's the one that popped in my mind. I mean, there's probably rounds that have been more memorable.
What hit me with this question was, when I first read it, my mind goes straight to playing with Rory for the first time, winning a golf tournament, Walker Cup stuff, all this stuff. But again, why I love golf is I have more fun playing with you and Ashton the other day than I do really playing a tournament. Now, I'd rather play in a tournament because the competitiveness is what makes me so excited to play. So I guess like in a general heart rate way, like I would rather play in a tournament, but right. I had so much fun just the other day with Drew and Drew Stoltz, Andrew Kittleson and these guys. Like it's pure fun. It's pure joy. It's a lot of laughs. Like it is why, even when this game is so freaking frustrating, why just going home and playing a for fun round of golf is so great. And I couldn't, I knew you were going to come up with an answer like mine that was way off the beaten path of your best round of golf. It was going to be something that meant something to you based off of the people you're with, way less so on your performing or performances or anything like that. And I think that's why golf is what it is. That's why people all are so attracted to it.
They also had that Carthage scramble once as a two-man scramble, and I won it with my dad. And I birdied the first four holes on my own ball.
No way. Sick.
It was like the most blacked out I'd ever
been.
That's
pretty cool.
Playing with him. At one point, the people were like, the guys we were playing with are like, so Monty, are you like, so what are you doing? And he was like,
he's a good thing I picked up those beers while Shane was driving me to the course.
Scrambles. You know what? Scrambles are underrated.
Way underrated. Two-man scrambles are hard too because you think you're supposed to be like 11 under through 11 because you're so used to being in a four-man scramble. Yeah.
Awesome. We're gone long, shocking. Thanks for listening. Rate and review the podcast. Follow the Instagram account at Get a Grip Pod. We don't post pictures there. So that's the beauty of that. What do you got going on this week, Max?
You know, I'm just hitting balls in my net. We're playing money,
playing the money game money on game Monday.
At Papago tomorrow.
Got a big matchup.
Or Parkins, today, I guess, if this is released on Monday.
Max, myself, we'll keep our distance. We'll be smart. You guys do the same. We'll be back next week.
Wash your hands.
Wash them.
Get a Grip with Max Homa and Shane Bacon is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.